Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, we're continuing here in the second book of Samuel, chapter 1, with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. And here's where I show you that I told you earlier, the account of Saul's suicide will be contradicted by a young Amalekite that comes and finds David. We're never sure whether Saul actually killed himself or this man was just trying to gain favor with David, thinking that if I killed David's enemies, he may bless me. But he did have Saul's crown with him, so he did come upon the body, whether it was dead already or not, or like he says, that he assisted in killing him because Saul asked him. But it's neither here nor there. Chapter 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp of Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell on the earth and did obeyance. So he falls down before David. So he knows who David is. And he also knows the strife that had been between Saul and David, obviously. David said unto him, "Whenceforth comest thou? Where are you coming from, fellow?" And he said unto him, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." And David said unto him, "How went the matter?" David doesn't know yet. David just came back from getting all of his family and stuff back. And the Amalekites, Philistines and Israel were fighting. Remember, they told you in the last session that they sent David away because David is secretly abiding with the Philistines and making them think that he's serving them, but he's really not. So God had him removed and sent away from the battle. So he doesn't know yet, but he's just finding out. David said unto him, "How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me." And he answered that the people are fled from the battle. Many of the people are also fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. Now, David and Jonathan were very tight. And I'm sure that broke David's heart right there. Saul also, because David loved Saul. Even though Saul had become so evil and wanting David dead, David still cared for him and had the opportunity to kill him a couple times and did not. That I dare not touch the anointed one of God. David said unto the young man that told him, "How knowest that thou, Saul, and Jonathan, his son, be dead?" And the young man that told him said, "As I happened by, I just happened by, and chance, upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear." Now that's different than what 1 Samuel said. He said he fell upon his sword. That's neither here nor there. We have a different writer here. "And lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. When he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered him, 'Here I am.' And he said unto me, 'Who art thou?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' And he said unto me again, 'Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me.'" You remember he asked his armor bearer to do that. I have suspicion this is just another soldier that was there, and he overheard what was happening between Saul and his armor bearer, and then Saul went ahead and ended himself. That's my opinion of it. "So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen." I'm pretty sure he was going to die already, so I just helped him out a little bit. Yeah, there was no way. He had like arrows sticking out of him, and had his sword through him, or his spear through him. Yeah, he was already gone. I did him a favor. He asked me to, and I stuck my sword in him a couple times. "And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my lord." Imagine that. "And David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord." and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that was told him, Whence art thou? And he said, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? The same thing that David said, I dare not touch this man. This is the anointed one of God. David realizes what it means to belong to God. David called one of his young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. So whether he actually did it or just came and tried to get some favor with David by telling him that he did it, he pronounced himself a death penalty because you dare not touch the anointed one of God. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And I'm sure this young man says, but that man hated you. He was trying to kill you all the time. I was doing you a favor. You know what? He was really already dead. I just came and told you that and brought you the crown, but it's too late.
Now you lied to a king.
Yeah, there you go. David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. There we see another reference to the book of Jasher, which I recommend wholeheartedly. Book of Jasher and the book of Jubilees really fills in between the lines in a lot of this early Old Testament stuff, all the way up through Kings. And, you know, it was in your Bible up to the 1600s. And somebody of greater wisdom, apparently, decided you didn't need to read it. But I tell you what, there's a lot of things in this Bible they don't want you to realize. They have softened them with words. You got to go back to the original transcript to get the full meaning of some things, because it just wasn't pretty enough to put on black and white for the common folk to read. So they softened them when they made the translations. But it's God's word. And if you read it in its totality, it brings strength and power and wisdom. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How art the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul as though he had not been anointed with oil. So David's singing about the mightiness of Saul. You know what? The Spirit of God may go out from you, but the anointing is forever. Once you belong to God, I truly believe this book says so many times. Once your heart follows after God and you truly belong to God, you are His forever, good, bad, or indifferent. He will even take it to the point which He just did here, the destruction of Saul's flesh for the salvation of his soul. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle of Jonathan? Thou wast slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Understand, there was a special bond between Jonathan and David. And there have been experiences in life where two men can become such wonderful friends. And such a strong bond that is a love, not a physical sexual love, a love between two men. That's what he's saying here, which just passes the love of a woman. It's just a wonderful bond that two men can have. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Chapter 2, book of 2 Samuel. came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up unto any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? He said, Go up into Hebron. There again, David is inquiring of the Lord, even about his movements. You got to involve God in your life, even in the little things. Don't reserve your prayer time to that 16 minutes or 3 minutes that you give him at bedtime on your knees. Talk to him all day long. I'll make a right turn here up here, Lord. Should I go right? You know?
Yeah.
He doesn't mind a conversation.
Nothing's too small.
Nothing is too small. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Now Samuel had already anointed David king, but physically he did not take the throne. So now the men have anointed, the congregation has anointed him king of Judah. Now this is not Israel, this is Judah. They told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord that ye have shewed kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. Now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I will also requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. But Abner the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. Now that's the normal thing that you would do when a king died. You would take his son. These men don't know God's plan. They are far removed from God's plan, because these are the men of Saul who declared war on God several years ago, wiped out all the prophets and priests, so they're not getting any words from God. And anything that this pipsqueak David does is going to be contrary to what they want to do, because Saul hated him when Saul's mind wasn't right.
Yeah, and the last they saw, they were out hunting him.
Yeah, they were out hunting him. There's no way that we're going to make David king over us. We're going to take this little kid over here and make him king. And made him king over Gilead, and over Ashurites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. The house of Judah followed David. The time that David was king of Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And Abner the son of Ner and the servants of Ishbosheth the son of Saul went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab the son of Zeruiah and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, and on one side of the pool and one on the other side of the pool. Now this seems very harsh, what's coming up. Very harsh. But you got to realize these were harsh times, and these were soldiers, men's men. And Abner said to Joab, Let the young men now arise and play before us. And Joab said, Let them arise. Now, they didn't go play volleyball, okay? They got their swords out and went into mortal combat. Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore that place is called Hetha-Hezarum. The scariest thing in this book are pronouncing these words, the names of these places. And they had to have sit down and thought about, what shall we name this place?
The grass. Every letter in the alphabet.
Yes, the grass is green, and there's a brook there. Let's call it Helohetha-Harbaram. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Sounds like a wizard.
I don't know how in the world they come up with it. Which is in Gibeon, and there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were 3 sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai, and Asahel. And as heel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And if you get into the books of Jasher and Jubilees, you will see that these Hebrews were mighty, mighty men. Some were blessed with great speed, others were blessed with great strength, others were blessed with voices that would tremble rocks. You got to understand the pure Hebrew was something to contend with. That's why all of the people in the land of Canaan feared them so mightily. And as Sheol pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from falling Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, Art thou Ahiel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men. Take thee his armor. Stop trying to chase me and kill me. Kill one of these other guys on my left or my right. One of them young guys. But Ahiel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Ahiel, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Abner's in a chariot. And this fellow's keeping pace with him on foot. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hind end of his spear, smote him under the fifth rib. But the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. It came to pass that as many as came to the place where his heel had died, fell down and died, stood still. This man was well known because of his attributes of great speed. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah, and lieth before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. The children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of a hill. So they've all, what's left of them is united, and they're gonna defend the hill to the last man. And Abner called to Joab and said, Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that I will be bitterness in the latter end? It will be bitterness in the latter end. Why do we have to kill all of you? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren? Joab said, As God liveth, unless thou hast spoken surely, then in the morning the people had gone every one from following his brother. But Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more. Neither fought they any more.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.